Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit. Well, welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Chris.
I'm Josh.
And we've kind of changed things up today, Josh. I was the first one talking today. It's usually your role. What's up with that?
Well, I like for us to just be a little fluid around here.
You know, fluid.
As things strike us, you know, I don't want to be constrained to any box. Now, we talked about before this idea of what is normal. Well, I want us to live that out on this podcast as well. There is no normal.
You used box. I would have said closet, but that's
well, sure.
But that's okay. We get the metaphors. It's all good.
I'm looking forward to today, and I'm anticipating what we're going to talk about today, but I don't know how it's going to go.
Well, and that's the fun in one sense of doing these unscripted. But the other thing is, it also demonstrates the trust that the two of us have built over this past year, as we, you know, continue to develop Aging Gayfully and the wonderful other podcasts that you have, Familiar Wilson's and Hey, Try This, Unscrew It Up. I love all of them, but I'm real happy to be collaborating with you on Aging Gayfully because it's been a dream come true for me to get this podcast up and running. And what better to do it with a good friend and an ally? And as we've gone through the first few episodes, we've traveled to Barcelona, we've traveled to St. Louis, we've traveled to New Orleans, we've kind of gotten the listeners to know a little bit about me, and you've done some wonderful commentary on those. But now it's time for the listeners to learn a little bit about you and your background. You grew up right down the road from me in Miami.
Yeah, that's right. Miami, Florida. Unique place.
It is unique. And talk about a city that's changed over the years.
Oh my gosh. It changes minute by minute, it feels like. I moved out of Miami in July. And after having lived there for most of my life, but I still had concert tickets for October, so I knew that I'd have to go back down in October. So,
well, wait a minute. I got to stop you. We have to let our listeners. July of what year?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that because I think it was, 2006.
I think
that's what it was.
If I'm not real good at math.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's been a while.
But that's a long time ago.
Right. So between July and October, when I drove back down to go to the concert, I was shocked at how much Miami had changed even in that time. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, new buildings had gone up. Like, several new buildings have gone up. And it was shocking to me. So Miami is changing all the time. And pretty soon it's going to be underwater. So if you do want to visit, you need to take advantage of any sort of deals you have now.
All my friends in St. Louis, they say, oh, you live in South Florida. Going to Miami must be wonderful. I said, going to Miami must be wonderful. I'm 40 miles from Miami, but I can count on one hand how many times I get down to Miami. It's in this tri-county environment, it's not as easy as you might think of just hopping in the car and going down to Miami, because that's a major metropolitan area in it, of its own. But what was it like growing up in a multicultural county?
Well, it's very interesting because in the 80s, Miami was multicultural in that there were a lot of different folks from a lot of different places who inhabited that space. But I wouldn't say that it was what they would call a melting pot. It was more like, I've heard it referred to as a stew, where you have your constituent parts and they still retain what they are. right? And sometimes the carrots don't meet the beef. So it was very, very much, you had an enclave of Anglos, you had an enclave of different Hispanic groups, you had an enclave of African Americans, and then a separate enclave of folks from the Caribbean. So yes, it was multicultural, but I can't say that when I was very young that I was exposed to a lot of it. Now, as I got older and I ventured out and I got to know people, that changed because of the effort that I made. But Miami, in general, has tended to have very sharp divisions between folks, unfortunately.
Oh, you know, that's something, not being a native, I would not have known right off the top of my head, but it kind of does make sense when you think about multicultural areas and language barriers. It can be a challenge.
Yeah, and I've been back a couple times since moving away over 15 years ago. So that
you did the math.
That math is not right. So I can't speak of what it's like to live there anymore. I know that to visit, it's still a lovely place.
Yeah.
So many things to see, so many different cultures at your disposal that you can go have Haitian food for one meal. You can go have Thai food for the next meal. You can go, all of these things that you would expect in a major metropolitan city with more of the flavor of Latin America and the Caribbean, which is lovely. I can tell you the first time I went to a Haitian restaurant, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. The food was so fresh and delightful and a little bit different on my palate, and the citrus and the spices, it was wonderful. And I can go on and on about the food alone in Miami and the stuff that you have access to. But the point being is that visiting there, it is just a delight. It's almost like the Epcot's tour of the nations that you go around and you see all the
That is a great analogy. Yep.
Except it's real.
That is a great analogy. I love going to Little Havana and walking Cayocha and sitting on the just sitting out on some of the tapas bars and watching the people go by. And I bought my Panama hat right there on in Little Havana. I need to wear it a little bit more. So maybe I'll wear it to Gainesville when I come for a visit.
There you go. Well, speaking of Cayocho, there's also the festival that they have, which is so much fun. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they refer to it now as, something having to do with carnival, like equating it with carnival, which is pretty appropriate because they close down the whole street, and up and down 8th Street, which is what Cayocho means, is all these food vendors and music, and it's packed with people, and it is such a wonderful party atmosphere. And again, it gives you that flavor of joy in so many things of life, and unashamed joy, which I love that too. I love that atmosphere.
It's kind of the flavor of America when you think about it.
It should be, yes.
It should be. So, and I've always been intrigued as I've listened to your podcast and your show on the Whole Care Network streaming radio. Your interest in music, where did that, how did that develop?
I was an only child raised by a single father. And so I found a lot of solace in the radio, in music, not just music though, in the radio in general. And that's why I love doing these shows, because one of my dreams was, one of these days I'm going to be on the radio. Welcome to Power 96, and I'm Josh, and this is the Morning Zoo, or whatever. Kind of out of that whole burying myself in the radio programming. And we had some great talk radio down in Miami back in the day. And along with that was music. And then you have to understand that living in Miami in the 80s and being my age at that point, everyone was into Miami Vice.
Oh, yeah.
And so Miami Vice hit, MTV hit, all of these things are music. All of a sudden,
right.
Not only was it something that you listened to, it was something that you watched, and it was something that was tied into other experiences. Like from Miami Vice, they'd have entire scenes that was just nothing but a song with video, with the actors not saying anything. And so you know, that too really got my interest flowing in music being in all of the spaces of our lives. And then lastly, of course, I knew this older gentleman, and I just thought he was really cool, and he played guitars. So I said, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar.
I have to stop you. Most older gentlemen are really cool.
There you go. Noted, especially since I am one. So I did. I took up the guitar, and that got me into being in bands and got me into writing music. And that's kind of how that all developed. It just kind of happened, you know, as a lot of things in life, it just kind of happens. So that's kind of how the music train started.
And I think one of the other of your many talents is your artwork. I've seen some of your drawings, and especially the bear drawings. But you are multi-talented.
Okay. Keep going.
Well, no, I'm just, I'm leaving this open-ended for you because, you know, one of the things, and I'm being kind of presumptuous here, but we always, sometimes we see ourselves differently than what other people see. And I see your talents in radio and in artwork and in creating. And I say, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm kind of envious because I can draw a stick person, not very well. And I know a little bit about editing, but not very well. And I look at what you've created, and that's one of the reasons why I'm real excited about collaborating with you on this. But you have such a wonderful creative gene to you that. That just manifests itself in all the work that you do.
A couple things on that. Each of us has our own unique talent and skill set and ability that allows us to interface and connect with the world. And what you have that I'm envious of is just your natural ability to connect with people. That is a talent, a skill. It's ingrained. I don't know how you define it, but that's what I'm envious of that you have.
I appreciate that. You know what? I guess I could say this. Working in the Catholic Church, I said, well, you know, I've talked to archbishops and I've talked to homeless people, and sometimes I think those roles should be reversed. But that's for a whole other, that's for season two of Aging Gayfully. But I appreciate you recognizing
that's
that.
For Thank like you. The spicy clips that, you know, is on our Patreon.
the spicy clip. What do they call on those on YouTube?
The shorts.
Shorts. Yeah, that's my. That could be a short.
Well, it's going to be hot takes with Chris. Is what it's going to be. It's hot where you can just let all Chris. The controversy out. You know, we don't care. You can be a total agent provocateur that I know that's in there somewhere.
Oh, and he's just dying to come out. Yes, I can guarantee you that.
But so that was the first thing that came off of that question you had about creativity. And then the second thing is I really do think that we are all creators equipped with the ability to make something. Society has pushed these norms that say there's an artist and there's a painter and there's a musician and then there's an event planner and then there's this and that. Now, I think that all of us, you know, whenever we decide that we're going to decorate our house because we want to make people feel more comfortable in our space, and so we make sure to furnish it in such a way mm-hmm. for comfort, we are creating something. We are creating an atmosphere. We are trying to create an experience. A person who wants to cook a meal for their family and wants it to be just so and wants to convey how much they love and how much they care through their meal, they are an artist and they are creating something. It just so happens that the things that I create, it's on paper or it's something that you listen to. I am no more or no less a creator than any other human being, or at least that any other human being inherently has the capability to do should they try to, number one, pursue it, but even before that, recognize that that's what they're doing.
You said some very key words there about pursuing and being creative and being, and I want to add to that, being encouraged to do that. You know, one of the whole aspects about Aging Gayfully, it's not so much about being a senior and aging gayfully. It's about, it's the total lifespan and giving people that encouragement to follow their dreams and follow their path to happiness so that they can age gayfully at 15, at 25, at 35. It's about encouraging people to find their space in life and go for it and throw out all the junk that we hear in the background. Oh, you can't do this. Or you should do this. Or you have to adhere to that 8-to-5 type of lifestyle, which smothers people.
And it's important that we encourage the folks around us to pursue their talents and their skills and their passions for their good and for the good of everyone around them as well.
And I'd be remiss not, you know, and because not to ask you about your family, because you're a wonderful parent and father and husband, and I know that's an important part of your life, and I've been privileged to see the pictures of you share with your kids on online, and Amanda, they're just. You can see the happiness there.
Let's just say that we've worked really hard, that it takes hard work to create an environment where there's that much joy and happiness. We have a 7-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 23-year-old.
Maybe you don't know this, but in some circles, I'm called the FU. You know, I'm a favorite uncle, so I'm happy to add more nieces and nephews.
Come on.
This is another area where I think we connect in, because as we pursue our goals and our dreams and do the things that we really like to do, with the Aging Gayfully brand specifically, it's so important to have these conversations with people that are like-minded and what we like to call allies. Because if this was a podcast with two gay guys, I don't think it would be successful.
There's something to the dynamic of we are both trying to not only understand each other, but to connect on a way that is greater than any given category that we've been given or that we've taken for ourselves. This is what we want for the community that grows up around this show. I have to tell you that the joy that we have in our family, it's earned, but it was earned the hard way. You know, a big part of my growing up in Miami and of my childhood in general was my very difficult relationship with my father. I say my father, he wasn't my biological father, but he adopted me when I was at a young age. He was a friend of my biological family, and so he knew them. And when it happened that my mother, who, you know, wasn't married herself, when it happened that she couldn't take care of me, he volunteered to take care of me. So that was an act of great kindness and compassion, which makes him such an interesting and difficult figure for me to figure out, because he was a very difficult person. He was a very hard man, and he was certainly verbally abusive. Thankfully, no other kind of abusive, mm-hmm. but verbally is enough and is way more than any child should have to bear. And so the man was definitely struggling with demons of some sort. And I don't know. I've speculated that maybe he himself was struggling with, you know, his sexuality, because there was never any right. sort of conversation about any sort of significant partner throughout his life. And he was an older gentleman even when he got me, born in the 1920s. So you can imagine how difficult it must have been, you know, for someone who may have been struggling with that aspect of their life. But whatever his problems were, you know, it made for a very, very difficult upbringing. And the circumstances around which I had a difficult relationship with my father may be different than others listening, but I'd be willing to bet that there are people who hear, oh yeah, tough relationship with dad. I get that. And I get the the lasting effects that that can have on someone.
It's very profound. And no matter what side of the fence you're on, parental relationships and how they impact us as we age. Some of us are able to maneuver through the minutiae of growing up in a difficult environment. Some of us are able to learn from it and create families of choice in order to get through it. And if I could be so bold and say what I watch from afar with you and Amanda is what you've created, what the two of you have created is a very open and loving relationship. And that comes from we all products of our experience.
Yeah, and as one gets older, as I've gotten older, it's interesting how I still see the reactions that are born out of my upbringing. It's almost like I'm looking at myself from outside myself, mm-hmm. like with my little boy. Last night we had a situation where he was just. We were driving to go see some Christmas lights and his window was down and he stuck his hand out and said, son, you need to get your hand inside the window. Why? I said, well, because it's not safe. Why? I reacted in a way, I mean, I didn't yell at him or anything, but I basically said, why do you always have to ask why? Sometimes you just have to do it. And the part of me that's the observer, you know what I'm saying? The part of me that's outside of myself observing what it is that I do on a day-by-day basis just shook his right. head and said no. So immediately I apologized and I told him why losing his hand is probably not a thing that we want. But I mean, at 52 years mm-hmm. of age, here I am still responding in a way that I recognize is a way that my dad would have responded. Of course, his would have been 10 times more frustrated and angry and terrifying, whereas I wasn't.
Right.
But maybe that doesn't ever go away. Stepping outside of yourself and saying, wow, you were really, as a child, you were really messed up. And the consequences of that are still here.
But the important part of that, Josh, is that you recognize it. You were able to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe it just took me this long to get to that point where I recognize it. Yeah. But it's also that thing where, you know, I'll probably be dealing with the consequences for the rest of my life because those things that happened to me were foundational things.
Right. The foundational thing, they're always going to be a part of us one way or another. It's how we deal with them. And it's amazing we're talking about this because and you'll know who I'm referencing when I I'm on my Saturday visits to Fort Lauderdale. I was asked last night about how we got into a conversation about growing up, and of course with everything that's going on in Israel and Gaza, and it's like, oh my God, because my friend has relatives there right now, and we talked about growing up, and I was amazed the question that he asked me. He said, did your parents ever show affection or touch you? And it really floored me because I don't think I'd ever been asked. I knew the answer, but I'd never been asked that question by anybody in my 66 year. And here's an 89-year-old man asking me this question. And I stopped for a second. I said, no, the only time I was ever touched was when I was kicked. And it's amazing that we're talking about this today because those experiences, they're different when it's happening to you. But as you grow and you look back and you realize, I don't ever want to treat anybody like that. or be treated like that.
No one in my family doubts that I love them, and I reinforce that to them multiple times a day in many different ways, because that's not what I had.
There's no greater feeling than to be loved and to love. And those three words that I think everybody aspires to is love, care, and commitment. Everybody wants to feel it. Everybody wants to give it. And that it manifests itself in a variety of ways. And I think that's another component as we continue on with our Aging Gayfully brand, that we want to be able to demonstrate to people. Because it is a journey. It is a travel. It is a traveling journey that we all experience.
I would be interested in our listeners sending us emails saying, hey, yeah, no, I had it difficult too, or, you know, hey, this or that was a problem, and this is how I got through it. I would love to hear that from our community of people.
Right. And you can email your comments to us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com and just, put in the note, the email, whether or not you'd like us to read that on a future show, or if we could use your name, or however you want, or you just want to email us and let us know. Because sometimes just getting some things out on paper is a relief to people as well. So I know there's a number of emails I've written that I never actually sent that made me feel good. But Josh, thinking of emails, we've received a few emails from some of our listeners, and you've got one today that we'd like to read here.
Okay, so this is from John T. Adams. John T. What do we think the T stands for? I'd like to know.
Thomas.
Oh, okay, there you go. Excellent. So the subject is Lost in Venice. And so John says this, I heard your Barcelona episode and your request for stories about getting lost somewhere. And I told the story about my dream of losing my car in New York as well. That was just a dream. I had a similar dream last night where I dreamt that I lost my car.
What is it? Maybe
is this the universe trying to tell me something?
What's going on?
All right, so let's look at this. Back in 2009, my two partners, Bill and Kevin, and I went to Italy for 2 weeks. That sounds lovely. Is 2 weeks long enough to be in Italy, do you think?
Well, it's better than 13 days.
Okay, moving on. This is the travel professional right there. You heard it from him. He says this. He says, the first week was with my family in a villa outside of Florence. The second week was just us in Venice. Being the planner of our group, I researched everything I could about Venice. I found us an apartment on Verbo and the repeated advice of just get lost in Venice. That's a literary device called foreshadowing. Okay, so which we did, but with a backup plan. We all had Blackberries. Oh, nostalgia. And put a pin on the map app for the location of our apartment. We wandered Venice, stumbled across the Phoenix Opera House, great local restaurants, local shops, and met locals who are still bitter about Italy annexing Venice. Oh, I don't know that story.
I don't know that story either. That's something for us to pursue in season two.
On our last night, we found a gay restaurant/bar we wanted to go to for dinner. The map app said it was a 10-minute walk. I can't tell you how many times I've had my map app. And I've had it set for the wrong thing. So I want to walk and I look and I see it says like 15-minute walk, but I really have it set for car.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened here.
Oh, been there, done that.
He goes on, an hour after leaving our apartment, we still hadn't arrived. Talk about three hangry homosexuals. Hangry homosexuals. Isn't that a little game that you play, hangry, hangry homosexuals?
That could be here we go. Instead of angry birds, it could be angry homosexuals.
And when I said balls, I meant the little game with the hippos. That's what I meant when I said balls. Moving on.
Allies don't have to explain themselves. It's okay.
I think I do. We finally found the restaurant and it was ... closed. Bill had a few choice words for me, and Kevin had to be the peacemaker. I can't tell you also how many times I've gone to a restaurant or a place I really look forward to, only to have it be closed because I didn't check to see if whether it was still open. We assume that if we see the information on the internet, or if it was open 6 months ago, that it will still be open. But that's not always the good assumption to make. I wonder. So we have restaurants here in town that close on the drop of a dime because they have staffing issues. And so you'll see like a hand-printed sign on the door saying, because of staffing, we couldn't open today, which is a thing I never saw before the pandemic. I wonder if that's a thing worldwide.
You know, I don't know. That would be something I could pursue and ask Nuria at the University of Barcelona tourism program, and to see if they have any data on restaurants, entertainment establishments that just kind of close without a moment's notice because they don't have enough staff. That would be because you couldn't really update that in real time on.
No,
on any app.
No.
Maybe in their own business app, but not when you're doing like the walking app or Google. You wouldn't get those types of notices that immediate.
Yeah, and it seems to me in a town like ours, the cumulative effect of that happening sporadically all over is to make people just say, screw this, we're not going out. Walking a different way back to the apartment, he continues, we found a restaurant with patio seating. Dinner started quite tense, I can imagine, but we loosened up when we noticed the busboy was flirting with us. There you go. As we were paying the bill, he asked us if we wanted cocoa. We politely declined. Then he remembered we said we were from St. Louis, Missouri, so we asked, meth? Even though it was frustrating in the moment, it's now a funny story for us. Signed, John T. Adams. I did not expect the story to end with meth.
Well, since Florida is one of the meth capitals, I don't think.
I'm so proud.
Oh, goodness. But full disclosure, Bill, John, Kevin, and Bill are good friends of mine. So I appreciate John sharing his story. I had known a little bit about that story, but I didn't know all the details. but that, you know, again, that's the spirit of traveling. There's those unknowns. You rely on the apps, you explore, and then they're closed.
And then whatever happens, happens.
And then whatever happens.
This is why we should look at life as a journey so that we're not ever disappointed, even when we're just at home going through our day to day. Are you a shopkeeper in Venice who's had to close suddenly? Let us know at yesiam@agingaithfully.com.
Can I tell you my Venice story?
Oh, good. Please do.
Okay. So Richard and I were in Venice. That's 2007 when we got off the train. It was like we walked off the train from Rome. From Florence. Well, I don't remember. It's been, it was probably the year you left Miami. we walked out in from the train station and you're right there with the canal. It's like you were in a postcard. We both looked at each other and started crying. It was so beautiful. And then we got to the hotel and we're trying to find a place to eat and said, well, of course we got to have Italian food. So we decided we wanted authentic Italian pizza. So there was a pizza place right next door to the hotel. So we walked in and we looked around and said, wait a minute. Yeah, it's all Italian. It's all in Italian. It's all run by Orientals who spoke impeccable Italian. And it was the best pizza. That's what travel is supposed to be about, the exploration.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. For me, travel is mostly about the food, but there you go.
There we go. We'll have food segments in season two. But Josh, goodness, we could go on forever today. What do you think?
I think that we should save some.
I think we should save some. And I think we have one more episode in season one.
One more planned episode, and then if we surprise people, then we surprise
people.
And that's kind of, that's what happens. And I just want to remind you, listening out there, let your friends know. Pass us along. Send a link to our show, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family, to your coworkers. Just get the word out that we are building a community of people who are aging gayfully and doing it together.
And check us out online at aginggayfully.com. There's some merchandise coming here, and by the end of December, it's got to be up by December 27th. But we are maneuvering through this path of life and aging gayfully, and I can't think of a better person to do it with than Josh Wilson. Josh, thanks for sharing parts of your story today.
My pleasure. As it stood, we didn't really talk that much about Miami, but Miami is a fun place to visit, mm-hmm. so I would recommend it. Just plan an extra hour or so to account for traffic for whatever you're doing.
Better yet, take the Brightline or Tri-Rail and get an Uber and let somebody take you all around. It'll be a lot easier than dealing with the traffic.
There you go.
So, Josh, how can there people find us?
They can go to aginggayfully.com. They can also email us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. We're also on the socials, on the Instagram and TikTok. Check us out there as well. That's how you can tell that I'm aging, though, because I said the Instagram.
The Instagram. Oh, goodness gracious, St. Ignatius. What a great visit today. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, sir.